Good evening, everybody. Glad to be with you again tonight. I want to thank the Lord for His blessings and what He's done for us. Want to go forward in prayer so we remember each person on our prayer request list tonight. Louise Burrell, this is Sister Barbara's daughter. Brother Bill, Sister Joanne, Sister Rhonda, Evan and Rob, Sister Donna Faye, Sister Donna Arnold, Sister Mary's brother-in-law, Timothy, Raymond Humphreys, Phil Eppergrove, Brother Jerry, Sister Joanne, Brother Danny's cousin, Alex, Brother Danny, Sister Kay, Darren, Brother Johnny and Sister Sandy, Sister Eva, Justin Kinser, Sister Rose and their family, Sister Gail, Brother Rick Pruitt, Sister Lisa, Brother Daniel, Sister Diane, Brother Don, Real and Brother Don Denson, and then Lonnie London, Sister Dean, Sister Barbara's following up with therapy, remember their neighbor Doyle, Rodney Burrell, Sister Jean, Autumn, and the Laws, Sister Donna Faye's Eddie, and then grandson David. He's kind of had a setback and fail, so remember him. Brother Gary, Abby, remember them in your prayers as well. Remember the men and women in service. Those in leadership in the country, states, everywhere it's around, that they would seek the Lord to do His will and follow Him. With that, we'll go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll get into our lesson this evening. Father, we thank You for Your love and mercy. Thank You, dear God, for this day, the hour and opportunity we have to be with You. Lord, help us tonight to do that which You'd have us to do, to be that which You'd have us to be. Dear God, we pray tonight that we'd draw close to You and one to another. Father, touch and meet these needs according to Your plan, Your purpose, and Your will. Father, we know that You can do great and wonderful things. Father, You're able to do above, abundantly above, all that we ask or even think. And so we know, Father, to You tonight there is no limitations as to what You can do. And we ask You, Lord, tonight just to have Your way. Touching every heart and soul, precious God, we pray tonight. Lord, just lead us through the Word. Help us to honor Thee in this and all we do for You tonight. We give You glory in Christ's name. And amen. Excuse me. A thought kind of been in my mind, and I couldn't put everything together, and I started thinking about other things, and this one thing leads to another, and we step from one side to another. A few scriptures tonight that we think about and was thinking about last night and stuff, and just kind of thinking a little bit again today. People today get confused in whether or not a person can lose their salvation. And I was thinking on this a little bit last night, and we believe as Free Will Baptists that a person can walk away from God, and if they die in that condition, separated from God, that they don't go into heaven. They go to hell. It's a hard statement to say, but we believe the Bible teaches us that because it says that we must continue in our faith. It tells us to hold on and be faithful until the end. Many scriptures given there. But we get a there's a confusion between whether or not a person can lose their salvation. We believe a person can walk away from their salvation. Now, that's not to say that you have to be perfect. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. Our righteousness is as filthy rags. I mean, when we stop to look at it tonight, there's none of us that would be good enough or could do good deeds that would get us into heaven. It just doesn't happen that way. But to say a person loses their salvation, I just have to ask the question, how do you lose it? I mean, if I lose a wrench, it's because I put it somewheres and forgot where it was, or somebody else put it somewheres and I don't know where it is. So when you lose something like that, it's misplaced and you don't know where it is. Well, to me, salvation would be hard to lose, misplaced, not know where it is. I think we walk away from it, and we do so gradually, most of the time, little by little. It's not an overnight decision that a lot of people make. Instead, it's a progressive decision. It's something that you start off possibly even not to do and yet end up doing. You know, it's just that we allow the distractions of the world and the things in the world to get to us, I would say this, and begin to lead us away from God. And if we're not careful, it can happen easier than we think. And I think even as seasoned Christians and folks who spend time in the Word and reading and praying, if we're not careful, we get to that same thing. We do things little by little. And, you know, we miss a day here and miss a day there, and pretty soon we're missing consecutive days, and pretty soon we're missing consecutive weeks. And, you know, it all boils down to that eventually that we allow something else to come in and take the place of God. We allow it to take the place of His Word. And a lot of times I think people who do that still think they're saved. And so I'm not saying that they're lost in the aspect that they're never been saved. I'm just saying that they backslidden, and even the Lord talked about the children of Israel, said they are perpetually backsliding. In other words, it's just a consistency. No matter what He said to them, they just continue to go against Him and go against His Word and wouldn't follow Him. And one day they'd say, I'm with God, and the next day they'd be away from God. And one day I'm with God, and the next day away. And they just were perpetually continuously falling away and doing what they wanted to do, turning their backs on God. And so just with that thought tonight, just a couple of things, because like I said, I was trying to remember and put all this together, and it just wasn't coming that way. So I thought, Lord, I'm just going to do what You give me, and I'm going to speak on it. And there's something that we don't think about a lot of times, is that the devil, He loves to play with our minds and our hearts. He loves to get in there wherever he can. I mean, if he's going to go after the Lord Jesus Christ, he's going to go after you and I. He's not afraid of us. We should be concerned about that and understanding. Now, the Bible does tell us to resist the devil, and he will flee from us. We're to be careful because we have an adversary. In Peter, he says, your adversary, the devil, goeth about seeking whom he may devour. So we have lots of scriptures that tell us who he is and tells us who we are, and more importantly, tells us who God is. And so that we know that through Christ, we overcome the world because Christ himself has overcome the world. But again, that's paying attention to what's going on. So, something that kind of, I guess you could say, kind of provoked this thought to me a little bit, and I'm going to do something different here hopefully soon with some things. But the scripture that we read the other evening over in 2 Timothy chapter 3 said, this know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. And it stops and it begins to list all the things that men shall be. But that word for means because men shall be. The perilous times is coming because men shall be lover of their own selves. How do we get to that spot? How do we get to that point to where we become lovers of our own selves? And think about it this way. How do Christian people get to the point to where they're so wrapped up in themselves that they no longer see the value of God and or the depth of having a sincere relationship? You look out across the world today, you see the TV evangelists and different ones. A lot of times they've got such a shallow mindset of what it is to be a Christian and what it is. They pile on you everything God does for you, and you have no requirements. You everything God, but that's not the way the Bible teaches. I have a requirement. Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." In other words, I'm supposed to follow after Him. He told me to be faithful unto death, which means I should be faithful to Him. Now, did He say you're perfect, and if you mess up one time, you're in trouble? No. He said in John, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But then it says, but if we say we sin not, we make Him a liar. Why? Because He just said, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. He said that there's none without sin. You and I, you know, we all sin. The only righteous person, the only holy person, the one who's never sinned walking on the face of the earth, well, that's Jesus. He's the only one who's never sinned. The rest of us have. And so when we look at this, we think about this. So then go back into 1 Timothy in chapter 4, and it says this. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Now, my question is, if you can't walk away from faith, why did the Bible just say that they shall depart from the faith? If it's impossible, once you're saved, to never have any problems and you're going to heaven no matter what happens if you depart from the faith? It can't be both ways. But here's the deal. The Bible tells us in this verse of Scripture why they do it. And we don't think about it, but why they do it. Look what He says. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits. What's a seducing spirit? Well, Proverbs chapter 1, the Lord told him, said not to run with those that are, you know, not to run with those who are out to seek innocent blood. Just go over there. Verse 10, chapter 1, He says, "My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not." Well, sinners are part of the folks who have that seducing spirit. They're telling you, this is good over here. See, we think about spirits as, and just trying to think this earlier a little bit more, but we think about spirits as something you can't see or comes in a ghostly form, you know, something that you imagine what you see on TV, and that's a spirit. And yet the Bible tells us that they're seducing spirits, and those spirits, the Bible say, works in the children of disobedience. If you think about it this way, and I wasn't going to do this, but I'll do this since I want to get that scripture just right. Let's see here. Children. Oops. Of. All right. Here, there's three verses of this. Ephesians 2 says, "Wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air," Ephesians 2:2, "the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." Now, there's a spirit, and it's working in these lives. In other words, it's like Jesus said, if you're not with me, you're against me. He that gathereth not scattereth abroad. You're either light or you're darkness. You're not both. We don't believe in the yin and yang. You know, the circle with the white on one side and the black on the other. And they're in the circle together. We don't believe in that. I don't believe there's light and darkness, and I don't believe there's darkness and light. They're separate. That's just how it is. Where there's light, darkness is not there. Where darkness is, light is not there. And you say, well, Brother Ernie, the sun is setting and it's getting dark, but it's not dark. No, it's darkness because light is absent from that spot. Otherwise, it would be light. You know, if you just stop to think about it this way, it's not mixing. We see it, we're looking at it in some type of, I guess we could say we're looking at it through fleshly eyes, thinking it's getting darker. Well, if it's getting darker, that means it's dark. Light is absent. A lot of times as Christians, that's the way it works with us. We're kind of like walking further and further away from the light. And the light's Christ. We're listening to something else. And that's going to be a seducing spirit that's drawing us away, whether it's the flesh or some other spirit that's there. But the Bible says that's the prince of the power of the air. That's Satan. And he's the spirit that worketh in the children of disobedience. And they're enticing folks to walk away from God. You've heard the old story. You will never pull somebody out. They will pull you down. It works that way. Now, that's not to say that saved people don't lead lost people to the Lord. That they absolutely do. They are a light. They're an influence. But you cannot yoke yourself to death and expect not to get the smell of rot on you and eventually die yourself. You have to separate yourself or you too will die. Now, we won't go too far into that because I don't want to get carried away and people start saying, well, you're saying this, that. I'm just saying, don't bond yourself to darkness. Ephesians 5:6 says, let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. There's a punishment for those who disobey God. They're the children of disobedience. Remember, the children of disobedience are the ones who are allowing the spirit, which is the prince of the power of the air, which is the devil, who is the prince of this world, to work in their lives. And the wrath of God is going to come upon them one day. He says in Colossians 3:6, For which things sake the wrath of God cometh upon the children of disobedience. So when you and I look at it, we're not escaping it. If you go back into verse 1 of that same chapter, it says, Colossians 3, verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on the things above, not on the things of earth. For you're dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth: fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affections, evil, concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. And then it says this again: for which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. These are the things that they're doing. They're allowing their body to do. And they're doing it. But he just said, if you are with Christ, or if you are a Christian, to seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth, and not the things of the earth. Again, departing from the faith in the latter times, because they're giving heed to seducing spirits. This is better than what you're doing. This is better than what you've got. It's kind of like this, and I don't want to be too mean, but I'm going to be pretty plain about it. We keep sending our young people to public schools and to colleges, and they keep teaching them that it's okay for a boy to be a girl or a girl to be a boy. It's okay to have premarital sex and abort babies, and it's okay to be gay and to be lesbian. It's okay to be bisexual. It's okay to want to do the wrong things such as drugs and alcohol. You're just being a young person, you know. living life up. They're teaching all of these things, and they're teaching also that it's okay to deny the truth and the facts of God, and the Bible's a myth. At best, it's a book, it's a storybook, but it's not real, it's a myth. That's a seducing spirit that our children are being indoctrinated by. Because those people who are teaching those things, they are the children of disobedience. They are the ones who are allowing the devil to work in their lives to tell our kids those things. And then we in turn send our kids to them and they tell them those things. And we have very little battling against that. And yet that's why if we look at where we're at today, they're listening to seducing spirits. The next thing it says there, though, and doctrines of devils. Well, the devil has a doctrine, and that is God is not God, that he one day will be God. If you think about it this way, go over to Isaiah chapter 14. Look at what, when the devil's cast out of heaven, look at what God says when he cast him out. Verse 12, chapter 14 says, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which thou weakened the nations?" Now, let me just say this. You want to know what a doctrine of the devil is? Changing that verse of scripture right there and saying, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O morning star," instead of Lucifer. Think about that. That's a doctrine of the devil right there. Because it's now saying the morning star fell from heaven. Lucifer is not, was not, and never will be the morning star. Jesus said he is the morning star. He said he is the bright and morning star. And you can't give Lucifer even credit for being a morning star. He's not. He said he's the son of the morning, but he's not the morning star. He's the prince that, of the air and the power of here, but he's not Jesus. So there's another seducing spirit, doctrine of the devil, lie that you could give. He said, "For thou said in thy heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the core clouds. I will be like the Most High." That's a doctrine of the devil. And there's people who teach, religious leaders, so to say, who teach that you and I, we're little gods. No, we're not. No, we're not. We're flesh and blood. And until Jesus Christ comes and lives inside of us and changes our hearts, changes our lives, we're in trouble. We are separated from God. We are darkness. We are not light. And I heard a preacher the other night say, he was watching something, and he said, there are many paths to Christ. No, they ain't. Jesus said, "No man cometh unto the Father but by the Son, and no man cometh unto the Son except the Father draw him." There is only one path, and that's the drawing of God unto Jesus Christ. We don't just accidentally find a road one day and figure out, hey, we can get to Jesus. That's not how it works. Joel Osteen once said that there are many ways to God. That's the doctrine of the devil. It's a lie. Again, Jesus said, "No man cometh unto the Father but by the Son." So Satan has his own doctrine. He will ascend above the heights of the clouds. He will be like, he said, "I will be like the Most High." He said, "Yeah, this is what God said, though. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pits." Now, that's what God's going to do with the devil. We read the back in Revelations, and he's going to throw him into the bottomless pit. He's going to be there in the lake of fire forever and ever and ever. He's not getting to heaven to ascend and be God. And understand this, he doesn't claim to be God. He claims to be like God. So, if we look at it and think about the thought and the process of this, we've all sinned. We've all come short of the glory of God. There's none of us that are good. Without Jesus Christ, we're all in trouble. And we can't forget that. And in the last days and hours which we're living in, we can get so sidetracked so easily by so many things and forget and put God off and, you know, put Him in a box somewheres and put Him on the shelf somewheres and pick Him up. God's not somebody, and I know this because I'm guilty. God's not somebody you can just lay aside and then, oh yeah, I need to spend some time with God. But that's the way we do it. That's the way we treat Him. That's the way we act a lot of times. That's not the way it's supposed to be done. If you think about what the Scripture says, giving heed to seducing spirits, doctrines of devils, says speaking lies in hypocrisy. Now, what's hypocrisy? Is that not, what we say, somebody's a hypocrite, they say one thing here, they do another thing here. Well, hypocrisy is speaking lies as the truth, saying we ought to do this and doing that. Let's follow the Lord, but let's do it on, let's do it on this side, not this side. God's Word says go this way. Well, we're going to go this way, and then we'll get back over here. We're still following God. We're just taking a detour. Well, detour cost the children of Israel 40 years wandering in the desert. And after 40 years of wandering in the desert, the only people went into the promised land were Joshua and Caleb. That's it. Everybody else who was younger or older than them, dead. Did not get in there. They wandered in the wilderness. They died. Moses himself did not go into the promised land. Now, understanding this, that he didn't die and go to hell. And I'm not saying that by any means. I believe with all my heart he's in heaven with the Lord today. But Moses himself, because of his disobedience to God, did not get to go into the promised land. God called him up on the mount. He got to see over into the promised land, and he died, and God buried him. But he didn't go into the promised land because of his disobedience. But when you stop to think about this, the 40 years they were trying to go another way to get to where God was going to tell them, and God said, there's only one way. You got to go my way, and if you don't go my way, you're not going at all. It's the same with you and I if we're going to go to heaven. We can't speak lies and hypocrisies. It says having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Now look at this, forbidding to marry. If somebody tells you not to get married, go ahead and live together. Don't listen to them. Do not listen to them. That's going against the Word of God. And that's what the Bible says they'll do. Commanding to abstain from meats. That's what they're doing today. That's what God said. I won't go down that road. Which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving to them which believe and know the truth. Well, there's a classification right there, folks. Now, am I saying that you can't be a vegetarian and be saved? No, I'm not saying that at all. If you don't want to eat meat, that is totally up to you. But when we start saying, can't eat meat, abstain from meats, it's ungodly, it's unholy, it's unnatural, we just went against the Word of God, that's a doctrine of the devil. That's somebody listening to a seducing spirit. And I'll just be honest with you, we're in trouble today, not because God is weak, not because God has failed, but because we've listened to other doctrines and other spirits. And we can't do that if we're going to be successful in our Christian faith and our Christian walk and our Christian life. And it's up to us to every day, to strive the more to be what God would have us to be and to do what God would have us to do. None of us are perfect, but all of us can be cleansed and washed, made white in the blood of the Lamb, which is Jesus Christ. Father, tonight we thank you and we praise you again. We just ask you, Lord, help us this evening to do your will. Touch the hearts and souls, dear God, of each one who has heard or will hear. Lord, if there be one lost, let them be saved. If be backslidden, dear God, let them come back to you. Lord, help us to be better, to be more faithful, to always be conscious of what we're doing, Lord, so that we're not speaking hypocrisies and we're not acting as hypocrites. But dear God, we understand the need of faithfulness. And we know tonight, dear God, that you will always be there. You'll never leave us nor forsake us. And for that we praise you and we thank you. And we give you glory in Jesus' holy name. And amen. Amen. God bless you. We love you and hope to see you next appointed time.